I spoke with Pastor Moses earlier today, and we were talking, and right before we ended our brief conversation, he said, "How are you doing?" And how are you doing? I said, "I'm very well, and you?" And he said, "God is good." God is good. Amen. And I thought to myself, yeah, that would be my right, because that's the title of my sermon. Amen. God is good, church. Oh, my Lord Jesus. You know, I was in prayer. Amen. In prayer and preparation for today. And I could not get away. So many things, because the word of God is replete. It's so full of the will of God concerning so many things, but I could not get away from the goodness of God, the goodness of God. And of course, I know my brother, every time I'm talking to Pastor Moses, he's always saying, God is good, church. Let me encourage you. Let me tell you what God is doing, okay? Because he's bringing us to the place of realizing and understanding that no matter what we're going through, he doesn't change. And so he was good from eternity past. He's good now, and he will forever be good. God is good. And as I was in prayer, I was just my mind was just going all throughout the scriptures, and I could not pull away from just this simple concept. And we're met with it in the as we come to the scriptures in Genesis chapter 1. We know well that the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was void and without form, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God hovered over the waters, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Amen. And then it said this, and God saw the light, that it was
good.
Good. It was good. It was good. Amen. And so right in the opening of the scriptures of the Word of God, we are confronted with the goodness of God, so as to cement it or to burn it in our minds that God is good, and we're not to forget this. We're not to let it go by. We're to understand that the very foundation, the very creation of all things was owed to the fact that God is good. He's good. So let me just state this before I get into the message any further. Before God created the world, he was, is, and always will be good. Titus 1 and 3, or let me read Titus 1:1-3, which says, "Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and to the acknowledgement of the truth which accords with godliness." Verse 2, listen. "In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began." God promised us eternal life before time began. And if anything speaks to the goodness of God, that does. That he's promised us, and he cannot lie. God has never broken a promise. It's impossible for him to lie. And so I want to, I'm not going to read all of Genesis out. I just quoted Genesis 1:1-3, just so that we could remember that the scripture says over and over again that what God did, he looked at it, he saw that it was good. Then in verse 31, to sum it all up, it reads, "Then God saw," Genesis 1:31, "then God saw everything he had made, and indeed it was Very good. Very good. This word good in the Hebrew, it means pleasant, agreeable, means a pleasant and agreeable to the senses, pleasant to the higher nature, good and excellent of its kind. It means appropriate or better. Where else? It means good ethically and good morally, happy and prosperous, good understanding. So many ways it's translated in the Hebrew Old Testament. But it means that God, when he created the earth, he created it good. Now, he created it good because he is good, but beyond that, he created it good for us, right? He created it good for his creation. And so then all of creation was and is the benefactor of the goodness of God. All of creation was and is the benefactor of the goodness of God. I like to say that, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'll wait before I say it. And so what we see is this. Every day for 6 days in the creation narrative, every day for 6 days, God's created work was good. Everything God created was good. Every day ended with God seeing that what he had made, what he had created, was good. And on the seventh day, God rested from his work. So the Bible says that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8 declares that. And if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, then it means everything he does in the earth today is good. Amen. What he created then was good. What he's creating and what he's doing now is good. Everything he's doing in the earth, everything he's doing in my life, everything he's doing in your life, in our lives, is good. What do you say? But the Bible says God rested from his work. Is God doing anything today? Is he creating anything today? Well, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 says that God created us in Christ Jesus for good works that he beforehand prepared and ordained that we should walk in them. Jesus said, I have come to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I believe that Jesus is still building that church. He's still doing what he said he would do in Matthew 16:18. So is God creating? Is he working today? I believe he is. Can we see that he's good every day? Is that our experience? Can we see it? Do we acknowledge it? I mean, every day, 7 days a week, as God saw that everything that he created was good, can we see the goodness of God in our lives every day and not only see it, but acknowledge it? But acknowledge it. I said before, I'm going to use Moses as an example. I'll use anybody as an example who's bearing forth fruit to what the scripture says. He said, God is good. That means he's recognizing. He's recognizing in his life, in someone else's life, somewhere he's recognizing that God is good. And that's very important as we get to God's goodness as it relates to us and our response to it. I'll just let you know now, I'm not even going to get to where I was going with this sermon. I got caught up. So that'll be another sermon where I get to where I was hoping to go. But Psalm 33 and verse 5, the psalmist said this about God. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. The psalmist said, in Psalm 33 and verse 5, the earth is full of the goodness of the... Oh, God, I challenge us today. Because you say, wait a second, the psalmist wasn't living in the world I'm living in. Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was. It was a world with full of men and the sins of men and all of this. But yet the psalmist says the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. The psalmist acknowledged God's goodness in his life, in the earth. Now, to be sure, everywhere I look, I see the wickedness of mankind. I see all this. You see it. We all do. But increasingly, even more so, everywhere I look, I see the goodness of God. As a matter of fact, over and above all the wickedness of man, I'm seeing more and more and more. It's increasing and increasing and increasing in my life and in the lives of others. I am seeing the goodness of God. Because listen, church, make no mistake about it. The Bible says, I'm going to go ahead and jump to Psalm 145, verse 9, one of my favorite scriptures of late. The Lord is good to all. He's good to my neighbor living on the left, on the right. He's good to the one living on the left. He's good Amen. To the person walking down the street who doesn't know. He's good to the atheist that curses him and doesn't know him. God is good, to all. Hallelujah. That's why when Jesus came, Paul said, Jesus came and he says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, and he has anointed me to preach the gospel with what? Good news. Good news. Oh my God. Listen, good news has come to everyone. That's why the angel came when to the shepherds and said, I come to you with tidings of great joy, with good news of great joy, which shall be to all people. All people. The goodness of God has come to all people. The problem or the issue is this. People don't know it. Not everyone knows it. Hello. Well, how are they supposed to know it? That's where you and I come in. That's a whole nother sermon. I'm getting way ahead of myself. I'm not preaching on that today. We'll get to that on another sermon. But all of this goodness, listen, I have a passion growing in my spirit, amen, to want to help people to see the goodness of God. Amen. Even the last visit I went to the hospital, you know, when the old ticker started doing what it was doing, you know, with this AFib, and I'm sitting in the emergency room, and these two young nurses come in, and they start addressing, you know, going to take blood pressure, start an IV, and they're doing all this thing. And I start talking to them about the goodness. I started talking to them about the goodness of God. Amen. And so, you know, they started asking me, say, well, do you have any pain in your chest? I'm like, no. Do you have any shortness of breath? I said, no. What else? They asked me all these things that usually people with AFib, they go into whatever. They said, well, how'd you know it was AFib? Well, I said, I felt it in my heart, but I felt it. And they were saying, and I forget, they were talking about different things. And I started talking about the goodness of God and telling them that, you know, the every day that we live is a gift from God. And we must give God thanks for it. And I think I said I was a pastor or something like that. They were asking me, oh, because I had my Bible with me. And they said, oh, you have your Bible? I said, yes, I'm a pastor. I said, they said, well, you won't be preaching tomorrow. I said, no, I'm going to preach tonight. Because that was a Saturday. Amen. And they said, well, you won't be preaching tomorrow. I said, no, I'm preaching tonight. I said, you getting it? Oh, yeah. Yeah, you getting it tonight. You're going to hear. So I started talking to them about the goodness of God. And they were agreeing. And because one young lady said, oh, you're a pastor. And her eyes lit up. And I could tell she was a believer. So I was beginning to talk to them about the goodness of God and how God's grace is over each and every one of our lives. But you see, God is good to all. The Bible says his tender mercies are over all the works of his hands. Over all the works of his hands. And I've said this before. The beautiful thing about the believer, you and I, is that we know it. Why? Because God has revealed it to us. The atheist beholds the glory of God and then turn around and say, God doesn't do it. God didn't did it. He didn't do it. The atheist wakes up every day and does not give God thanks for the breath that they're breathing, doesn't give God thanks for keeping them through the night and giving them strength. All that. They don't. But the believer knows it. Why? Because God has revealed it to us through his word, through his son, Jesus Christ. We understand without him, we can do nothing. Without the goodness of God, we're bankrupt. Amen? And so what we see is, and what I'm seeing is the revelation of God through scripture is that truly the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Why is this? Why is this? Well, Psalm 119, verse 68. I memorized this a long time ago because when I read it, it wouldn't let go of me. I read this scripture, I don't know, must have been 15, 20, 30 years ago, and it wouldn't let go of me. Here it is, Psalm 119, verse 68. You are good and do good. You are good and do good. Oh, it's so simple. And then the psalmist says, teach me your statutes. It declares the simple truth about God, that he is good, and out of that flows what he does is good. So when the scripture says in Genesis 1 that everything that God looked upon what he had done and it was good, that was because God is good. His very nature, amen, is goodness. He does good because he is good. Remember, Jesus said to the person who called him good master, and Jesus said, why you call me good? There's none good but God, but one who's God. He is the source of all goodness. Amen. James 1:17 says that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, from above, the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every good and perfect gift comes down from him. He's the source of all goodness. Compared with the devil, who is not good, has never done good because he is evil. And a murderer from the beginning. He is a liar and doesn't stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. He kills, steals, and destroys, and there is nothing good about him but God. Everything he does is good because it flows from his essence of goodness. And we're reminded, because we're made in the image of God, that goodness is one of the fruits of the Spirit. We're going to come back to that in another sermon. Yes. And so we'll go a little bit further. You'll remember when Moses brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. They met with God on Mount Horeb. And the children of Israel, while Moses was up there getting the law, they fell into sin. They committed idolatry. And God sends Moses down, and then he comes back up and he rewrites the tablets because Moses destroyed them in judgment, as he broke the tablets. So he goes back up, and God and Moses says, Lord God, please go with us. And God says, at first he said, I'm not going to go with you. And then he says, I will go with you. I'll be gracious. I'm going to be gracious. I'm going to send my angel with you. And then Moses has an interesting request. You remember it in Genesis 33, verse 18. We even sing songs about it. Moses said this, show me thy glory. Show me thy glory. And what's interesting to me, though, is God's response to Moses' request. The Lord said in the very next verse, verse 19, he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. But wait a second. But Moses didn't ask for his goodness. Moses said, Lord, show me thy glory. But how many of you know that we don't often know what to ask for as we ought to? How many of you know that we often ask amiss? We'll ask the wrong thing. The pastor who started our church years ago, going on to be with the Lord, I'll never forget him preaching one day, and he said how he got in a cabin alone up in upstate New York, And he was seeking God. Was it in Yakima Valley in Washington State? I can't remember. But he was seeking God and he was praying and asking God to show him his glory, like Moses was. And he told God, I'm not leaving here until you show me your glory. And so there's Pastor Mingo praying and fasting, and he wouldn't leave. And so one day he was praying and he heard a rumbling, a sound of rumbling. And the whole cabin that he was in began to shake, began to move. He said it sounded like a train was getting ready to come right through the cabin. He said it scared him so bad, he grabbed his coat, put on his shoes, jumped in his car, grabbed his Bible, and he left. And he said, I ain't never done that again in my life. He was praying to see God's glory. Well, Moses was praying. And he said, show me your glory. But God's response to Moses was to show him his goodness. Was to show him his goodness. God said, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. And I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. In other words, Moses, what I'm doing is not because of the work of what you or anyone else can do. It's because of the goodness of my grace. Because of the goodness of my grace, I will make all my goodness pass before you. Notice, Moses could only see God's back part. You remember the story where God said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see my face and live. But he says, I'll let you see the back part of me. In other words, Moses could only see God's back part, yet God showed him all of his goodness. He showed him all of his goodness. Why? Because God is good. He's good. And Moses, yeah, did God answer his prayer? He did. He showed him his glory, but it was limited. When God wanted to show him all of his goodness, Moses, as I look at this, may have been asking amiss. He was asking to see the wrong thing. He asked to see his glory. God says, but I'm going to show you. I'm going to make all my goodness pass before you. And so God is good in that he did not give Moses what he asked for. Hello? God is good. You say, well, how is that good? Because God said, Moses, if you see me, you will die. So God did not give Moses what he asked for. Be careful what you ask for. And aren't you glad that there are times when God does not give you what you asked for? He gives you his goodness instead. Oh, God, thank you, Jesus. Help us. So God said, God said, here is a place by me and you shall stand on the rock. And so it shall be that I will put you, that while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock. And we know what that cleft of the rock was, right? None other than Jesus Christ. He's the rock upon which we stand. He's the rock of our foundation. He's the rock of our salvation. Moses knew nothing about that place. God said, there's a place by me. He said, there's a place by me where you can see my glory and experience all of my goodness. And I'm going to put you in that place and cover you with my hand while I pass by. So what we see is under the old covenant, Moses could not see the fullness of the glory of God. He couldn't see the face of God. He could only see the back of the glory of God. He could only see the back part. And yet God fulfilled what Moses requests in the new covenant, in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul is speaking about how the God of this world had blinded the minds of those who do not believe, lest they should hear the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ and be saved. Lest the light of the gospel would shine unto them and be saved. And then Paul quotes Genesis 1 that we quoted earlier, Genesis 1 and 3. And he says this, for it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Moses could not see the face of God. God said, if you see my face, you shall die. So you can't see that glory, but it's fulfilled in the face of Jesus Christ. Paul says it here. For it is the God who commanded light to shine, 2 Corinthians 4:6. For it is the God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Where do we see the fullness of the glory of God? We see it in the face of Jesus Christ. So all the glory of God and all the goodness of God is revealed in the face of Jesus Christ. And Genesis 1:3 said that God saw the light, that it was good. So God performed this great goodness for us in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. Also that we might not be condemned, but come to the place of eternal life. A common refrain, and a common and well-known refrain that started with King David, exalted in and in response to the glory of God. I'll start it and you finish it. 1 Chronicles 16:34. You know it well. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for the Lord is good. That's right.
He is good.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for the Lord,
is good.
For his mercy endures forever. Amen. Where did that become prominent? It became prominent when King David came on the scene. And God in all of his goodness manifested his mercy toward King David in sparing him with the lion and the bear, sparing him with Goliath, sparing him from the craziness of King Saul. God was good to David, so much so that David said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. David wasn't saying what he hoped to happen in the future. David was declaring what had been his experience with God through the past and all up into the present. He said, surely goodness and mercy,
mercy
of God, the goodness of God follows me all the days of my life. David was a consumer of the goodness of God. David was one who acknowledged that God was good to him. I believe it was David who even said in Psalm, 27:30 or 34? He said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I had fainted. I had given up unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And listen, church, no matter how bad it is, no matter how bad it looks outside, no matter how bad, that's why when the one pastor who was doing the election, he was saying, I see Russian soldiers and Chinese soldiers and their feet on the ground and they're taking over American cities. And I heard this man and I'm listening to him. And I said, it doesn't matter what you see. No, doesn't matter what you see. I don't care how many dreams you have. Amen. I'm not believing God for that. Amen. David said, the psalmist said, I had fainted. I would have given up unless I believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And I prayed against all of that craziness. God, Lord, no, it won't work. It shall not happen. No weapon formed against us is going to prosper. Turn it back, Lord. Frustrate their plans, Lord, whatever their plans may be. Frustrate it, oh God. But let it not come to be. Let it not happen here. This craziness. No. Why? Because we're looking to the goodness of God. We're believing God for his goodness in the land of the living. So David said, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for the Lord is good. So giving of thanks to God for his goodness, notice, it is evidence Giving of thanks to God for his goodness is evidence of specific revelation of God. Specific revelation. As opposed to general revelation. You say, what's the difference? Well, Psalm 19 declares to us them both. I'm sure you've read it before. But general revelation goes out to everyone. Everyone who has ever lived and seen what God has created has experienced the general revelation of God. It goes like this. The heavens declare the glory of God. Psalm 19 and 1. The firmament shows forth his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech. Night unto night reveals knowledge. Listen, there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Amen. General revelation. Everyone who lives on the planet of the face of the earth sees the sunrise every day. They see the heavens. They go out and see the same thing you and I do. And I'm sure many people have said, like I did when I was a little boy, walking outside in the ghetto of D.C., looking up at the heavens, and I said to myself, there's got to be a God somewhere, because this doesn't even make, this is too beautiful. Who would do something like this? Looking up at the clouds, looking up at the heavens, at the sky, and I'm thinking to myself, my God, where does, this is so beautiful. There must be a God somewhere. You remember that song? Over my head, I hear music in the air. Over my head. I hear music in the air. Over my head, I hear music in the air. There must be a God somewhere. We used to sing that. We're little children in elementary school. I don't even know if the people knew God, but we were singing that. And so the general revelation goes out to all people. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone throughout all the earth and their words to the end of the world. So general revelation goes out to the end of the world. Everyone hears it. Everyone sees it. But then in verse 7 of Psalm 19, it changes over to specific revelation. And specific revelation went to one nation. 3,000 years ago, 3,500 years ago, went to one nation, to the nation of Israel. The scripture reads, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Where did the law of the Lord, what people did it go to? It went to the Hebrews. It went to the Jews. And they had specific revelation. That's why you hear David giving thanks to God, because he understood it was God's goodness toward him. It was God's goodness. That you don't hear sinners getting up every day, walking outside. Oh, God, we bless you and we thank you for all of these good things you've done. No, you don't hear that. We can muster it up one time a year during Thanksgiving. We can pretty much muster it up because it's a national law that we give thanks. But for the person who has specific revelation, it's a daily thing. Amen. The law of the Lord is perfect.
Amen.
So God reveals himself. So the giving of thanks to God for his goodness is evidence of the specific revelation of God. Before I came to know Christ, I wasn't waking up every day giving God thanks. Come on. I would venture to say neither did you. No, we were out living our life full of, you know, selfishness, self-centeredness, so forth and so on. But God now is working in us to bring us to the place of acknowledging his goodness no matter what the circumstance. Let me say that again. God is working in us to bring us to the place of acknowledging his goodness no matter what the circumstance. Why is that important? It's important because the goodness of God is not determined by the circumstance that you and I find ourselves in. Let me say it again. The goodness of God is not determined by the circumstance we find ourselves in. Reference 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Amen. You remember when Hezekiah was had these nations coming against him to overthrow them. And they consulted with the king and the prophets. And they said, send out the singers in front of the army. Well, any person in the right mind would know, well, that's kind of backwards, ain't it? But no, they sent out the singers and said, tell them to declare this. For the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. Hold on. We're going into battle. They're about to come and kill us. And you want us to say, yeah, just go out there and say that God is good. Yeah, but my circumstance, how's that going to help me? What are you talking about? Listen to me. Go out there and say, for the Lord is good.
Amen.
And his mercy, oh God, it never fails, it never runs dry. It is always sure. You can bank it, take it to the bank, go out there to God. And so you and I, what circumstance you find yourself in today? Amen. Does anyone out there have perfect circumstances? You just have a perfect situation going on.
No.
Amen. That person is not, the person's not on the call today. Yeah. Be on the call tomorrow, right, or the next day.
Right.
The person doesn't exist.
Right.
But the psalmist said, the word of God says, in the midst of your battle, in the midst of that hardship, in the midst of that trouble, amen, go out and say this, for the Lord is good.
Amen.
And his mercy endures forever. And the scripture says that when they began to declare that the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever, that the Lord sent ambushments against the enemy.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
He frustrated them. He confounded them. He confused them such that Israel got the victory.
Amen.
Such that Israel got the victory. And how did they do it? By declaring, for the Lord is good.
Amen.
And his mercy endures forever. So the mercy of God is not dependent upon our circumstance.
Amen.
Right.
I think we need to switch it around. Our circumstance is dependent upon the goodness of God.
Amen.
If we acknowledge God's goodness, when we acknowledge God's goodness, something happens.
Amen.
That's why when I was talking to Moses before church, and he said, God is good, something went off in me. I said, hey, glory to God. I wanted to run. I wanted to run. I tell you, I wanted to get up right up out of here. Amen. Because it's so true. Amen. It's so true. As simple as it is.
Amen.
It's so true. 2 Chronicles 5:13. Listen, indeed, it came to pass. 2 Chronicles 5:13, that when the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, and when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever, that the house of the Lord, the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud. Amen. It says that when they praise the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever, that the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud.
And
what do we learn from this? We learn that when we acknowledge the goodness of God, that the Lord fills the house. When we acknowledge the goodness of God, that the Lord fills his house. Well, what is the house? Who is the house of God?
We are.
You are. We are the house of God. And when we say he is good, his mercy endures forever, he fills this house.
Amen.
That's why Paul said in Ephesians 18, beloved, be ye not drunk with wine. Be not filled with wine to excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord.
Amen.
Because when we do that, we are going to realize the filling of God. God comes and he fills the house.
Yes.
He takes over the house. So I want to encourage us to acknowledge the goodness of God daily.
Yes, yes. Amen.
Acknowledge the goodness of God daily. What is it? Proverbs 3 says, acknowledge him in all thy ways, and he shall direct thy steps. Amen. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. Bless him. Come on. Bless him, and make known his goodness. Make mention that his name is exalted. And so as we declare God's goodness, amen. I like to remind people of the goodness of God. So when I'm in people's houses and cleaning carpet, and we get to talking, amen. You don't always have to say, do you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord Savior? It's not all about the getting into prayer. Come on. We do a whole lot more sowing seeds and watering than we do reaping.
Yeah.
Right. Amen.
Hello,
amen.
Come on. Paul said, Apollos, I planted, Apollos watered, but who gave the increase?
God
did. And so listen, we need to be as faithful sowing and watering as we are about reaping.
Amen.
And so when we get there, I say, hey, God did it, didn't he? God, wasn't God good to you? Didn't he deliver you? And people be going, I'd be like, yeah, think about it.
Right.
Think about it.
Right.
God is good to you. May not even know God. Doesn't matter. Why? Because Psalm 145:19 says, the Lord is good to
all.
He's good to us all, church.
That's the truth.
Amen.
Psalm 34, verse 8 says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is
good.
Oh, taste and see. You telling me you can taste it?
Yeah.
That's exactly what I'm telling you. That's exactly what the word of God is telling us. The goodness of God is so tangible to the believer that we can tell others about it and encourage others concerning it. The goodness of God, metaphorically or better yet, spiritually, can be discerned by the spiritual senses of God-fearing people. You can actually taste the goodness of God. You can discern the goodness of God. Amen. You can acknowledge it. You can see it. Amen. You can see the goodness of God. It was like when I told you I was going to pick up a rug and I was walking up the steps and my foot missed the step and my head is hit and I'm falling headlong and there's this big old steel pole that I'm about to hit. Well, crack my head wide open.
Right.
And at the last moment, something pushed me.
Yes.
Amen.
Something pushed me. I was falling straight, but something pushed me and the pole hit my shoulder. And I come up, when I got my balance, come up off that thing, I'm about dancing the jig out on this person's front stoop. Because I know who did it. I know it was the goodness of God that delivered me that day. Amen.
Amen.
Psalm 107 verse 9 says, for he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness.
Amen.
Satisfies the longing soul. Listen, there are people longing for a lot of things. Uh-huh. They're running, they're trying to seek it here, there, and everywhere. But the one thing that they need, God, the scripture says, he satisfies the hungry soul with his goodness. It's his goodness, both for sinner and saint alike. It is his goodness. It's not that thing we're running after.
Right.
It's not that thing we're hoping that's going to fulfill us. No, it is the goodness of God.
Amen.
And his goodness alone.
Yes. Amen.
Psalm 52 and verse 9 says, I will praise you forever because you have done it. In the presence of your saints, I will wait on your name, for it is good. For it is good. So not only is God good, but his name is good as well.
Amen.
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 And why is that? Well, Psalm 54 says this, I will freely sacrifice to you. I will praise your name, O Lord, for it is good. The name of God is good. Praising the name of God is good. Because God is present in his name.
Amen.
God is present in his name. And so when we praise God and praise the name of God, we're praising the same thing. That's why when we pray in the name of Jesus, he's present in his name. And so praising the name of God is equal to praising God. Equal to praising God. So we give thanks to God for his goodness. Psalm 100, many of us memorized when we were children. The scripture said, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you land. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Why? For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures throughout all generations.
Amen.
He's good. That's why we sing. That's why we worship. That's why we praise. That's why we get loud. That's why we get beside ourselves. Amen. Because the Lord is good.
Yes.
And his mercy endures forever. Psalm 106:1 reads this way. Actually, Psalm 106:1, Psalm 107:1, Psalm 118:1, Psalm 118:29, Psalm 136:1 states, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. All this, the repetitive nature is repeated over and over and over and over again. Why? Because God wants us to get it. He wants it to be cemented in our minds that he is good and his goodness is not contingent upon our circumstances, how they change, how they go up and down. So when Leah said today in her text, it's like a roller coaster with Shushu and the baby goes up and down. I'm like, yeah, but there's one thing that never changes. There's one thing that you can be sure of. God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he's good always. Therefore, yeah. You can praise him. Yeah. You can praise him when the roller coaster's at the top. You can praise him when life is at the bottom. You can praise him in the light. You can praise him in the darkness. You can praise him at all times. That's why the psalmist said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth because God is good and his goodness never changes.
Amen.
That's true.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 So let me get to Psalm 145:9 again, where the psalmist says, the Lord is good to all. His tender mercies are over all his works. And when I say all, I want us to get and keep the picture in our mind of all. God is good. He created the earth to be inhabited. He filled it with food. In Genesis 1:2, it talks about four rivers. He filled the Garden of Eden with four rivers, plenty of water, fruit trees. Gave them a wonderful climate, made everything beautiful beyond description. This is why I get on YouTube and look at videos of nature and his animals and the cosmos and stars, and I can't get enough of it because he made it so beautiful. And I'm like, you will see one beautiful thing. You said it can't be more. But no, it's more and more and more. And he made all of these things. Why? Because he's good.
Yes, he is.
Because he's good.
Yes,
and
he is.
And then he made us in his image that we might experience it all and have dominion over it all. He gives to all life, breath, and all things. He gives to all life. I believe God's going to change the church's perception and how we treat sinners.
That'd be amazing.
How we treat gay people.
Amen.
All right now.
How we treat atheists.
Right.
Come on now.
How we treat people who are not like us.
Right.
Oh, yes. I believe he's going to do it. Why? Because Jesus did it.
Right.
Come on now.
Jesus did it.
Nobody like Jesus.
Come on now.
Come on.
Jesus was good. Everybody.
Amen.
Help us. Come on, y'all. The church. The church is not good to everybody.
Right.
Hello. Look here. This is what I mean when I'm saying that God, that his goodness, and we'll get to that in another sermon, but right now we're just dealing on the goodness of God and his character and his nature. But you make no mistake about it, that as he is, so are we, or so we should be,
right,
in this life, in this world. Amen. Right?
Come on.
But I believe that where we, some of the things going on in the world today, that the true church is going to be identified with how we treat those
people,
who are not like us.
Yes.
Hey, my God, Jesus hung on a cross and he looked at the people who were stabbing him, who were putting the nails in his hands, who were jeering him, who were just ridiculing him and reviling him. And he looked on him and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then you look at the church today, and we're talking about, let's go get our guns, and we need to cancel this person, and we need to get rid of those people, and we need those. And we talk about, and I'm looking at the church, and I'm saying, dear God, what is going on?
That ain't Jesus.
It ain't Jesus.
It ain't Jesus.
Come on now.
Come on.
Not Jesus.
Speaking the truth.
The Lord is good to all.
He gives to all
life, breath, and all things. He wakes up everybody. Listen, you say it. See, the church knows it. Those who are really, these believers, we know God woke me up this morning.
Right.
And he started me on my way. Some people say, do you really believe God wakes you up this morning? I tell you what, you can have it your way. But I believe, listen, that he wakes us up each morning.
Each morning.
It's according to Romans 11:36. Paul said this, that God, he all things were created by him and for him.
That's right.
He created all things. He sustains all things, and all things find their destiny and end in him.
Mm-hmm.
Period. Right? So he sustains all things.
Right.
And I believe he wakes us up every morning by his power.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
Now, the believer knows this, but the unbeliever doesn't. And so Job, in his mischaracterization of God, saying that God was wrongfully judging him, and all of his speaking wrongly about God, Elihu comes and steps up and he argues with Job in Job chapter 34, verse 14 and 15. Elihu says this: if he, God, should set his heart on it, if he should gather to himself his spirit and his breath, all flesh would perish together and man would return to dust.
Right.
And so Elihu is laying out to Job, saying, Job, you're saying God is not right. God is taking your judgment from you. Elihu is saying, if God determined to gather and call his spirit to himself, all flesh would perish. And since that is not the case, then we should understand that God is good. He's sustaining you right now, even in the midst of your trouble.
Amen.
And just because you're going through hardship and trouble, you don't then impugn the reputation of God because you're going through some hardship. No, God's the same. He's good. He hasn't changed.
That's right.
Right? And so basically Elihu is saying this. All flesh is solely dependent upon the goodness and grace of God to live every moment of every day.
Amen.
All flesh is solely dependent upon the goodness and grace of God to live every moment of every day. God, this is what's so standing about God and his goodness. God owes us nothing, yet he gives us everything.
Everything.
Hallelujah.
Let me say it again. God owes us nothing, yet he gives us everything. Think about it for a moment. Think about it. He gives to all life, breath and all things. Every heartbeat. We don't think about our heart beating. Well, probably you don't, but I've been through some things lately. I think a whole lot about my heartbeat. Listen here. Listen, my heartbeat beating. I've been thanking God every day.
Right.
Thank you, Jesus. Well,
thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
You tend to thank God a lot for what you almost lost. Hey.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, God, help us to thank you for it without us having to almost lose it. God, help us.
Yes.
God, yeah. Help us. I'm telling you right now.
Amen.
Let me read you what this commentary said regarding Job 34. This is, let's see, what commentary, some German commentary. I'm not going to pronounce that. But he says this: God does not act wrongly, for the government of the world is not a duty imposed upon him from without, but a relation entered into freely by him. The world is not the property of another, but his free creative appointment. And how unselfishly, how devoid of self-seeking he governs it, it is clear from the fact that by the impartation of his living creative breath, he sustains every living thing and does not, as he easily might, allow them to fall away into nothing. There is therefore a divine love which has called the world into being and keeps it in being.
Amen.
Let me say that again. There is a divine love which has called the world into being and keeps it in.
Yes.
Amen.
And this love, as the perfect opposite of sovereign caprice, is a pledge for the absolute righteousness of the divine rule. So it's God's love that shows that he is absolutely trustworthy and righteous in his governing of the affairs of men.
Uh-huh.
Let me close with this. Matthew chapter 5, verse 45. We've talked about this before. We'll talk about it again. I'm only going to read the second half of it. The first part, Jesus says, let your good works shine before men. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. And then he says this: for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good.
Amen.
Amen.
Makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good.
Hallelujah.
The question that I have for us, the church, do we?
Good question.
Right.
Do we? Says, and he sends rain on the just.
That's right.
And on the unjust.
That's right.
Now, if God causes the sun to rise on the evil and causes the rain to fall on the unjust, who am I to withhold good things from wicked and evil and unjust people?
Uh-huh.
Who am I, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Listen, the sun rose today, did it not?
Yes, indeed.
Correct.
You say, Pastor, it's raining, it's been raining, it's cold, it's chilly. But the sun still rose.
Oh,
God still calls the sun to rise. Now, currently is hidden from view due to the clouds. But it rose.
Right.
Now, we often complain about the rain. Amen. Sometimes it rains a whole lot. Me and my wife have been talking about it. So it's been raining so much in North Carolina. Been raining up here a lot, too. We've had a lot of precipitation this winter.
Yes, we have.
And we complain about the rain, and yet we need the rain.
Hallelujah.
That is sent by God to cause the earth to bring forth and bud.
Amen.
God gives to all the evil and the unjust what is necessary to grow, sun and rain.
Amen.
He gives to everybody, sun and rain. God's not like us.
No.
Hey, aren't you glad he's not like us?
Yes.
See, because if God was like us, none of us would be in the kingdom of God.
Right.
Come on now. None of us would be here. Lord Jesus, no. If God was like me, I would have condemned me a long time ago. Oh, so I'm done with him.
Right.
I'm done with that knucklehead right there. See,
it's
but no, he causes his son He causes what we all need for growth, son and man. He causes it to fall upon everyone.
Yes, he does.
Because of that, no one in all of creative history, no one in the history of the world will be able to say, I never experienced the goodness of God.
Amen.
That's right.
Not a soul. There will be no person standing before God the day of judgment saying, I never saw your goodness.
Whoa.
I never experienced it. Oh, no. Yes, you did.
Uh-huh.
Yes, you did.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because God is good to all.
Hallelujah.
Bow our heads, amen, in a word of prayer.
Amen.
Father, we come to you now in the name of Jesus. And Father, we declare, we recognize that where we are right now, we are by the goodness and the grace of God.
Yes, Lord.
You have thus carried us. My God, Lord, when we were out of strength, when we couldn't go anymore, when we couldn't do it, oh God, you did. It was your goodness, oh God. Lord, when we, like the children of Israel, had sinned and were deserving of judgment, Lord, it was your goodness. It was the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. It was your goodness, oh God, that saved us and rescued us. And Father, we acknowledge your goodness toward us.
Thank you, Father.
Father, we pray, Lord, that not only would we continue to acknowledge it, but we would flesh it out. We would live it out.
Yes.
We would declare good news to the poor.
Yes.
We would declare good news to those who are spiritually poor, morally and ethically bankrupt, oh my God. Lord, those who, Lord, who don't know you, who can't see you, oh God. Lord, who are blind to the good news, the gospel of the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That they would see our good works, that we would be full of good works, full of goodness.
And they would glorify
declaring, oh God, your truth to this generation, oh God, that you've birthed us in.
Yeah.
And so, Father, we pray that your word, oh God, would take root, oh God, in our hearts and bear fruit
glory
of God, to the glory of Christ, our Lord and Savior, and to the salvation of the souls of men, women, and children.
Yes.
Father, we ask this in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus Christ.
In the name of Jesus.
And all God's people said amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
That's a good word.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, God's going to feed his sheep. God's going to feed his house, and that's you. Amen.
Yes.
Glory to God. So he brings forth his words so that we might be nourished and up in the words of faith and truth. And so that his word might continue to have fruit in our lives and bear fruit of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Is there anything else we need to say before we adjourn this meeting of the saints of God?
Very good.
Thank you so much. Sister Irene, it's good to see your face.
Amen.
Yes.
God bless you. We continue to pray for you. And, know that we continue to keep you before the Lord.
Thank you.
Right, you're welcome. All right, saints. Well, that does it for today. Remember again, next Sunday, we're going to be meeting in person. If you're not in person, online, live streaming on YouTube. Okay.
Amen.
I love you.
Amen.
Bye.
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 Bye.